I once read what a preacher said about Scripture. He said that you should read a passage of Scripture until you find Jesus in it. Read any passage of Scripture, you read it until you find Jesus. A reference to Jesus, a reference to what he's done, the reference to what his purpose is in our lives. You see, the whole of Scripture is about the plan to restore the broken relationship between mankind and his Creator. I would like to look at Psalm 6, and we're going to try to find Jesus in Psalm 6. Notice all people are the same. It took the young ladies a little while to find their scripture. It takes me a little while. We're all the same. We're people. Okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to read this passage, Psalm 6. I'm going to read it in the whole, and then we're going to break it down, and we're going to find Jesus. This is David, during a very difficult time in his life. A lot of people think it's right after his the rebellion of his son Absalom. That's not 100% sure, but that's what a lot of commentators believe. So he was hurting. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, he was hurting. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord? How long? Turn, O Lord, and deliver me because of your unfailing love. No one remembers you when he is dead, who praises you from the grave. So save me, Lord, he's saying. Verse 6. I am worn out from crooning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil. For the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace. Do you find Jesus in there? Is there somewhere in there that there's a reference to Jesus, which is the overarching theme of Scripture? Jesus is the one who, fill in the blanks. Where do we find Jesus in that Scripture? Okay, where he says, Lord, be merciful to me, Lord means Jesus in that reference, and he is exactly right. He's exactly right. In verse 2, be merciful to me, Lord. The very concept of God's grace and mercy, where does it come from? Comes from the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. So the young man is exactly right. The very concept of mercy is Jesus, the merciful one, the one who walked in flesh, the one who suffered just like we do, the one who felt our temptation, the one who felt our weakness, the one who felt hunger and thirst and pain and the things like we do. And you'll notice that in verse 1, David is kind of like, "Oh Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Don't discipline me in your wrath." So he's kind of like, it's kind of like he's remembering it. There's a wall or a chasm between us and God because of our sin. And then he remembers mercy, mercy. Be merciful to me, O Lord. And mercy is possible only because of what Jesus did. That's the only way that a bridge is built between us and God, through the blood of Jesus. And it's right here in Psalm 6, the very concept of mercy. So anytime you're reading Scripture and the concept of God being gracious and merciful to fallen humanity, to us, that is Jesus. You just found Jesus there. Anyone who lived at the time of David would have known that about the mercy of God. Let me get the where that concept comes up. That would be in Exodus 34, verses 5 and 6. So David would have known the concept of the coming Messiah. He would have known that there was coming one who would pay the ultimate sacrifice so that we could once again come boldly to the throne of God, to the throne of mercy and grace. Exodus 34. Oh, this is that really, really, really neat story. You don't have to put this on the overhead, but I want to read what happened right before Exodus 34, verse 5 and 6. In verse 33, I'm just going to read the dialogue. Moses said to God, this was during the time that he was giving the Ten Commandments. Moses said to God, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name. I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," God said, "you cannot see my face because no one can see me and survive it and live." And the Lord said, "There's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." You know, once I had a person who was mentally challenged. This is at work. And he asked me one day, "What is God like? What does he look like?" And I said, "Well, he's very big. He's big. And he sees everything and knows everything. And he's very big. And look at this. His hand, he can cover Moses in the cleft of the rock with his hand. So he is big." And it was so funny. That guy just loved that answer. "He's big. Wow, I didn't know that," he said. And here's talking about how big God is. "Go in the cleft in the rock, Moses, and I'll cover you with my hand. And then I'll turn and you'll see my huge back. But you can't see my face and survive because of the glory and the brightness of my face." Okay, skipping over to Exodus 34, verses 5 and 6. And then God did what he said he was going to do. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with Moses and proclaimed his name, the Lord. So he's going to tell Moses what his name is, the meaning of his name. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That's who God is. And the very concept of him being compassionate and gracious, God is a God of justice. But he's also a God of grace and mercy and love because of what Jesus did. So there's a reason. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They all work together in one unified spirit to bridge the gap between us and God. I don't know about you guys, but I have very, very often felt the gap between myself and God. Particularly during times in my life when I'm not on fire. I'm not really, I'm just kind of floating. You ever get that in your Christian life? You're just kind of floating. Routine, you're floating. You may be edging over a little bit. You're getting off your seat, you're edging over towards some disobedience. Instead of being seated in the household of God, you're kind of edging off it, and you just kind of, you're leaning the wrong way. Instead of leaning into Jesus, we're leaning into the world and getting some of our, too much of our satisfaction and too much of our life is tied up with that. Leaning the wrong direction. And I can tell you from very personal experience that in those situations where God sees you leaning the wrong way, and King David many times was leaning the wrong way, his sins and his tendencies are recorded in scriptures, and yet he knew about the merciful God. Last Sunday, I was sort of leaning the wrong way. Just kind of, I was feeling kind of blah. Just kind of, man, I wasn't really leaning into God. I was kind of trying to be self-sufficient and I can take care of myself. And, you know, just kind of those feelings that we get sometimes. And last Sunday morning, about 9 o'clock, I was heading out to, taking my daughter Elisa, our daughter Elisa, out to Ohio, get ready for her trip to Ecuador. Got as far as Barclay, Maryland. And did like I always do at a stop sign. I look both ways. Go across the intersection. About 3/4 of the way across the intersection, kaboom! My car's spinning, boom, bang! All kinds of noise and ruckus going on. I'm like, what happened? There was nothing coming. There was. There was a silver car hidden behind all the signs in the intersection. The signs and the posts and the poles. I totaled my little car. Of course, what do you do when you fall off a horse? You get back on. And you ride on. So I called home and got the car towed off to what's now the junkyard. And she came, picked me up, and off we went to Ohio. And later I asked God, wow, why'd you let that happen? You know, I always look both ways. I'm a very careful, good driver. My eyes are always popping around when I'm driving. What? And it just came very clear that, man, you've been way too self-sufficient. You've been leaning the wrong way. And in his mercy, he allowed that to happen to wake me up. And I got to thinking a little bit more. His mercy is so, it's just so amazing. About a week before that, I had gone to AutoZone to get some oil for, change the oil in one of the vehicles. And got new oil and just laid it on the back seat and didn't think anything about it. Come out 2 days later to get it to work, do the oil change thing I was going to do. And a brand new container of oil had leaked all over the back seat of my car. And I'm like, ugh, what the world? And I did everything I knew how to get that oil out of the seat. It was just saturated. Probably lost probably close to a quart of it. Synthetic oil. I'm like, what cuts synthetic oils? I used water and vinegar. I used seat cleaner. I tried everything I knew of to try to get rid of that oil stain on the seat. And I let it dry overnight. I thought I'd spent enough time cleaning it. And next morning I go out and put my finger on the seat. And I look at my fingerprint. It's shining. And I had to take Elisa back the next morning. I'm like, I don't want her to sit in that oily spot. Because no matter what I did, it would still, every time I'd go like this and up would come oil. So I took a piece of plastic, laid it on the seat. I put some canvas over that, type material over that. And then I put the sleeping bags I was going to use to sleep at a rest stop when I got out there. I was going to sleep for a while and then head back. Put the sleeping bags and the pillows all over that. And I said, I don't want Elisa sitting on that spot. And we were 5 minutes down the road, and she said, you know, I was up packing till 3 o'clock in the morning. I think I'm going to lay in the back seat and sleep. So she went in the back seat to sleep. And naturally, because I had the nice pile of stuff over the oily spot, she laid on that spot. And during the accident, when you have an accident like that, there's a concussion that goes through your vehicle. It's like a vibration thing that goes through your vehicle. And it struck her on the foot. Her foot was apparently down on the door that got hit. And she had a concussion injury on her foot. Now, what about if I hadn't spilled oil on my seat? And she chose to have her head down at the end that got hit. I'm like, God, you're merciful. You even use oil. Old motor oil. To be merciful. If her head would have been bent there, she could have got a brain concussion instead of a little foot concussion. Merciful. David knew that. I know that. And I think all of us can look back in our lives and see times like that. God, I thank you for being merciful and saving Elisa from a concussion or whatever would have happened if her head had been down there. And thanks for waking me up and correcting my lean, walking around like this, leaning toward the world. That ain't no way to live, is it, Ken? That ain't no way to live. Sit in the seat of the righteous. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. And whatever we're going through, whatever we catch ourselves doing or thinking, we can come to the throne of grace, and there's no chasm there anymore. We can come right to the throne of grace, right before God in our spirits. We can come right before God and tell Him exactly what's going on and tell Him exactly where we need help and confess exactly what we've been doing or thinking or whatever. And we correct our lean. And King David knew that, and we know that too. It's the blood of Jesus that we find, the story of Jesus we find all through Scripture. verses 3 to 6. This is so neat. Here's what God does. This is his character. And again, remember, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. So it's the mercy of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus that makes all this possible, that God does this. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. Great is our God and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. That's God's character. When we're brokenhearted, when we're sad, when whatever it is we're facing, and King David in Psalm chapter 6, when he's I'm going to make the assumption that it was after the situation with his son, the rebellion of his son Absalom, that King David knew that God is a God of mercy because of what Jesus did. And he came there. Even though he was sick, he was hurting, his eyes were hurting, his bones were aching, and his spirit was broken. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name, just to illustrate his greatness. Great is our God and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. You know, his understanding has no limits. Do you ever feel like our souls sometimes feel contaminated? Sometimes it comes from people around us. Sometimes it comes from the media, entertainment. There's different things that come in our lives that make our souls feel kind of polluted. You just feel yucky. You don't feel clean just because of what you've been exposed to. God understands that. He understands. It's understanding. He knows the depth of our soul. And he knows when our souls are kind of crusted over with filth or the things of this world that pull us down. He knows that. And he's just waiting for us when our souls feel contaminated. Sometimes it's from stuff we do, and sometimes it's from stuff that we're exposed to, but our souls get contaminated. And remember, because of Jesus, our soul and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are united. God lives in us. That's a concept that sometimes you just shake your head. He lives in me. But he really, really does. It's one of the great mysteries that in heaven we'll see how all that took place and how in this sinful, contaminated world that God could come down and live in our hearts, live in our souls. But he understands that crud that gets on our souls, that clings to us. And that's one reason that Jesus died, was to make it possible for us to decrud, to come to the throne of mercy and grace and healing. And that healing, he heals the brokenhearted, he binds up our wounds. And a lot of times that crud that sticks to our souls comes when we're hurt, we're brokenhearted, we're sad about something. Something has happened that we don't understand. And we feel wounded. And then we're very vulnerable to everything. But Jesus makes it possible for us to come to the throne of grace and kneel right there, right in front of him, and face to face. And forget about the physical part of his face and our face. Forget that part. But our spirits connected because of what Jesus did. So I've found that we can decrud our souls. We can cleanse them through the blood of Jesus as we come boldly and say, God, Father God, I have this, I feel contaminated. I feel dirty. I feel used up. I feel broken. I feel whatever. And it's in God's character that he will heal us. He will touch our souls. And he will clean them. And it feels so good. My favorite way of decrudding, by the way, everybody's different. But when I'm alone, where nobody has to listen to me, I love to sing. That's why I go walk out in the woods and walk the streets, and that's what I do. That's me. I haven't got made a couple walking sticks at work, so when I get too old to walk without a stick, I got a couple sticks. I polished them all up and put a tip on them. I'm ready. But that's how I decrud. I just rejoice in some of the hymns and songs and even a lot of the newer music that we sing here. It just clings to my soul, and I just take advantage of it. And it just cleans me. And when I'm done walking and singing and talking to God, I feel all cleaned up. And I go up the back steps to the craft shop where I work, and I'm like a new man. Just all cleaned up. Feels so good. And I can do that because I understand with the psalmist, his understanding has no limit. None. You know, I think that one of the failings of the American church is that we don't pump each other up enough. Fellow believers, let's get this word into our hearts so we can pump each other up. And we can tell, sometimes we kind of ignore it, but we can tell, if we use our spiritual eyes, we can tell when somebody's a little down. We can. A lot of times we don't want to fool with it. I don't know what to say. Yeah, you do. You have the capacity. You do know what to say if you let God just flow through you. Get the scriptural concepts into your heart of who God is and what he is, his character, and then just let that character flow through you. Now, you got to practice it. You won't be perfect the first time. When you find somebody down, let's cheer each other up. Oh, one of my favorite stories. I am a fan of the University of Delaware Blue Hen football team. I've been for years. And I remember the neatest story. This was years ago. They had a coach by the name of Tubby. And if you ever saw him, you'd see why he was named Tubby. But he gave a speech to his football team before a game. Come on, guys, you can do it. Come on, look at you guys. You're strong. You're fast. Come on, you can catch the pad. We got a good quarterback. Come on, we can do it. And just pump them up and pump them up and pump them up. And this one guy got so excited, he jumped clean over the lockers. Jumped up on the bench and jumped over the lockers. Got him so pumped up. Let's encourage one another. Let's build each other up. We don't do that enough, including myself. So let's jump over some fences. Let's jump over some walls. The wall of fear. Let's jump over that one. That's a big, huge one. That is so debilitating when we're too fearful to do use what God has given us. Let's jump over that wall. We can do it as a church. People of God, we can do it. Let's look at Psalm 9, verses 9 to 10. Again, we find Jesus, we find the footprint of Jesus in these verses. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. For you, Lord, will never forsake those who seek you. Even when our souls feel contaminated, either because of what we've been exposed to or things we've done or leaning the wrong direction, He will not forsake you. He will not turn His back on you when you seek Him. And sometimes you recognize a million blown opportunities. Oh, man, I'm just pretty, my goodness, why didn't I think of that? Just come to Him, seek Him, seek His face. He'll restore your spirit and make you stronger for the next time. Make you wiser for the next time you have an opportunity to bless someone, to encourage somebody, to lift them up, to bring healing to them, to bring a light back into their eyes. You see, these verses, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for the Lord will never forsake those who seek you. That's a kind of a study in His character. That's who God is. And when we seek Him face to face like we were told we can do, then His character merges with our character. And we'll never be little Jesus's, because He's deity and we're human. But His character infuses. It's in our blood. It's in our spiritual blood. It even gets in our physical body. It really does. And energizes us. Energy, physical energy is very much connected to our spiritual condition. God's character rubs off on us. It fills us. And you'll get it when we come boldly to the throne of grace because of Jesus. Because of the sacrifice, because of the resurrection. And this month we'll be talking a lot about baby Jesus. And that's well and fine. But I love the Jesus who's on the right hand of the Father, interceding for me, praying for me. And He knows, in one of the verses we looked at earlier, it says that He knows the depth of our He knows the depth of our souls. I love that Jesus. Made it possible for me to go face to face with God the Father and not be ashamed because I go through the blood of Jesus. And a wonderful mystery, because we don't understand why or how, really. But because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we can all do that. Fellow believers, We can do better. We can do better. We can do more. Let's take advantage of all the opportunities that he's given us to have his character rub off on us. And then we just need to open up. Once his character rubs off on us like it should, and as long as we're not leaning the wrong direction, it will rub off on us, then we'll notice when other believers are hurting. And we'll notice also when someone who's an unbeliever is ready. Sometimes you can see it in their eyes, a vacancy, just that's a sign that God's working. They're not feeling the joy of the world. They're looking for something. They're a vacant look in their eyes. They're looking for something. Let's give it to them. Let's give it to them. Because they're looking. God has them ready. Not everybody is ready every day, but God will bring people into your path who are ready. And that's our job as a church. That's our job. That's our job assignment. Show them Jesus. Show them Jesus. Bring Jesus comfort. Bring Jesus forgiveness to them. We can't forgive them. We can't comfort them. But as Christ flows through us, we can. We can't forgive them, but as Christ's forgiveness flows through us and they're introduced to the concept, they can be forgiven. Because we choose to follow Jesus and we choose to correct our lean. So we're leaning toward Jesus, leaning into his arms instead of away. Well, fellow believers, that's what was on my heart this week. And I hope God takes my words. When I got the mic back there this morning, I asked them back there to pray for me that I'd speak the right words into the mic. So God, use my words. The worship team, I guess, can come forward now. And I would like the congregation to stand, if you will and can. And then the altar is open if you want to speak to God about anything or pray for people. Maybe people that God brought to your attention, pray for them. Start the process now by praying for them. Either up here at the front if you feel comfortable or back there. Dear God, we come to you this morning. And I pray that you will use my humble words, recognizing that it's not my words, but it's your character infused in me coming out through the words that will have any power and impact. And that goes for every one of us. I'm no different. It goes for every one of us. So make us, so to speak, make us preachers and teachers to the world in the sense that your power flows through us, your love flows, your mercy flows, your grace flows, your understanding flows, your healing flows through us. And God, help us to, through the blood of Jesus, get the murkiness off our souls, the uncleanness, the dirt, the things that comes on us from the environment sometimes from our own sinful choices. Just remove that from us because of the blood of Jesus. And just pump your spiritual blood into our hearts and souls. And I pray this for this congregation, that we can be used mightily in this county, in this state, in this nation, in this world, for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.